places in terms of maturity. You know, as I said, different experiences. I think Johnny said the food wasn't enough. Other people had different complaints. But it was really a time of work and play. We had a good rest. We saw some crocodiles there. And, you know, it's just good to, you know, if I look at you guys, I can honestly say when you have been on missions where let's go with people, you know, I think there's almost a tie, a good one, you know, for a very long time. I still remember the first time I went on missions. And if I still see today, quite a few years later, you know, I still feel that in Afrikaans, die kameraadskap, that thing of, you know, hearts being knitted together, praying together, etc. It was really a good experience, and I'm looking forward already for the next time that we will go there. We've got a commitment also as the two churches that will preach there once a month. Karla and Isaac there in Rundi is also building the kingdom. They are a few, I think, about 15 weeks pregnant now, so they are also progressing. And we really want to support them as well and to see what God is going to do there. So a little bit on this morning, I just felt when we prayed up there before church and right now, I almost want to just read a scripture and say amen and let the Holy Spirit minister to us, and may that be the way it will be. But I will share one or two things with you. Let me read first to you from 2 John 1 verse 1 to 6. The elder to, it will be up there as well, letter of John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. And it's something that's really in my heart today, and I really trust and believe that as we pray together, the words that we had, the worship, I just feel there's that thing, you know, there's that thing, and many times we'll say it's so important to, and it is definitely, to have a heart for the lost people that's not standing in the relationship with Jesus Christ, but also on a little bit of an inward-focused place, you know, to love one another. And it's something, as I said, you know, it's easy to tell someone, you know, I'm a parent, so I'm a father, so many times I will say to my children, no, you got to love your brother or your sister. No, we don't bite. Or who was in the car? It was Prisca, actually. Yeah, she's not here this morning. And then Ulrike bit Alvin, yes, like in front of a church member, you know. That was so embarrassing to see that I don't have perfect children, you know. It's really challenging to a pastor. But nevertheless, it's such a good place of discipleship. But, you know, as I said, when we were there in Rundu, us and the guys from Swakopmund, some people know each other better and some don't. But sometimes when you start speaking to a Christian, someone where the love of Christ is in that person's heart, you know, you just feel that thing, that unity, that thing that you can relate with, that love, you know, something we are all so desperate for. Now, Scripture doesn't say here that we should like the people that is similar than us. It doesn't say love those ones that you are in your small group only, or love the people that shouts for the same sports team than you, or are wired the same ways, that has the same hobbies or whatever. It says love one another. Now, I'm sure if we could make a very complicated diagram here this morning and draw lines and connect dots, I'm sure there will be a lot of people who's really loving each other. But I believe for myself and for many of us, there's still a lot of a place where we can grow in loving each other. So I also want to just quickly read from 1 Corinthians 13. I believe you will all know it very well, verse 1 to 3. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And it's so challenging, you know, many times we can be awesome in certain things and can really excel in that, but Scripture is really challenging us as well to love one another. I also want to read to you from John 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34, and it's the words of Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Okay? And it's so important, friends. It's something. It's easy to say, I love you, Harry, or I love you, Adriana, or whoever it might be. But, you know, there needs to be fruits of well of that. It's easy to say, listen, of course, I'm the pastor. I must love all of you guys. Or maybe you are elder or a small group facilitator. But how deep is that love really? You see, it's easy sometimes to love when circumstances are perfect. But you see, I shared it on missions as well, the Sunday evening, no, the Monday evening when we had our feedback session. You know, certain things in life I really love. I love camping. I love sleeping in the outdoors and then waking up next to the Kavango River with all the birds singing. But I hate sharing a shower with the whole campsite or a toilet. I just have to be honest. I don't like that. Anyone else like that in the house? I'm not going to look at specific people. Okay, I know some people are lodgers. Some people are campers. We are not all the same. You're going to hear that thing a lot this morning. You see, but to love also when it's really difficult, when my biological clock says to me 1 or 12:30, it's time to eat and I'm hungry. You know, and I see the, something's going to happen. We're only going to have our lunch at 2 o'clock. You know, then you still need to love that people, you know. It doesn't mean like now you stop loving someone now. You know, you can think of a few situations in your own life. And I'm specifically talking about here towards each other this morning. I'm not even talking to the guy walking in the street right now whose name you don't even know. Let me read to you also from 1 John. 1 John 3, verse 11, and then from verse 16 onwards. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And that is challenging to me. You know, sometimes I feel, and I once heard a pastor, you know, that I know, he said, you know, he got hurt so much, so many times in ministry over a certain amount of years, that he slowly but surely started closing his heart, you know, because when you get hurt or whatever happens, you know, it's easy to take a step back and say, I'm not gonna put my heart out there. It's better to put it in a little cage and protect it, unless someone might hurt it. But you know what happens? We just draw back that thing that Rick Russo spoke about last year at the Convergence Conference that was also marketed, when he shared a little bit about what was happening in America, you know, where people said, no, we're going to build Christian schools and Christian this and Christian that. And at the end of the day, there's just a bunch of Christians standing together. But what is our job? The description says, as Christians, we should go out to the world, you know. And in the world, it's sometimes challenging. Where's Warrior's testimony this morning? But people that you maybe don't relate with that easily, people that it's maybe someone in your family or at your workplace, think workplace a lot this morning, you know, people that's really on your case, that makes it difficult to love that person. So it's something I believe we can hold before ourselves time and again and just align our hearts with what Scripture says and what God has for us. So just very quickly, first point. It's important that you understand yourself. I will never forget that day. A while ago, I was sitting in a small group with a very intelligent engineer, very gifted person. And I asked a question, and he was looking at me, and he said, I can't answer you. I'm not very in touch with myself. You know, now that's a typical man joke. Sometimes men are not that in touch with themselves. I have I can share from the point of view of being an unsaved man 12 years ago and being born again today. That's why I'm preaching the word here, I believe, or I have the opportunity to do that. But I want to tell you, I've seen that men who has laid down their lives and made a choice for Jesus Christ, you know, it's a lot easier for them to talk about their feelings. In my opinion, I've only seen drunk guys share their hearts in the natural. Men are many times, maybe it's just my culture where I come from, the way I grew up, that's not talking a lot about our feelings, how we feel. We are scared because we grow up with the cowboys don't cry type of a thing. But when we come to Christ and we are made new and renewed, it becomes easier. Ladies, if you're still single and you wonder what happens in a men's small group, sometimes the guys do cry. Can I have an amen? Any guy who doesn't want to stand up and testify, Reinald, he's raising his hand, he says he cries. It really happens, I promise you. Okay, ask your husband one day, it does happen. But first of all, it's important that we understand ourselves. Now, I want to share something personal, and my brother Yaku, the pastor in Swakopmund, he's probably one of my best friends. And it was just so awesome. That Saturday morning, I was going to do the parenting course with Karlan, Isaac, and a few people in Rundu, and the rest of the team went out evangelizing, inviting people to church. So I've got a certain personality. Some of you know me quite well, and my wife has got a totally different one. God was so good, he gave me a wife that is exactly the opposite in many ways of what I am. Now, Pastor Yaku, and I hope he's listening to my sermon or will listen to it sometime, you know, he's also got a certain personality. Now, I would tend to say my wife and Yaku are put in the same box, if I'm allowed to, and then maybe Yohandri, his wife, and myself, we are a little bit the same. So, before we left, Maritza with three small children and Yohandri with a baby and two small children, they were going to stay behind because it would be a bit difficult on a Saturday morning going to town, evangelizing, etc. Will not be very effective. So I said to my wife, okay, my wife, the river is 2 meters, okay, from here. There's crocodiles, and then the list goes like that. Don't do this. Remember to do that. Don't do this. Remember to do that. And she's like, yeah, 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 you know. And then I walked around the corner, and I just see Brother Yaku with a massive smile on his face, okay, because at their house, usually it's just the opposite. His wife saying to Yaku, Yaku, remember to look after the baby. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't let the children swing in the tree. All those type of things. But it's awesome. That's the way we are different. You know, how boring it would have been if we were all the same. So that morning, I just had to, for a moment, actually stop and smile just about the way I gave my wife a certain talk and Johanna gave her husband a certain talk, just because we are wired a little bit different. Especially my twins, they're born 1 minute apart from each other, but they differ worlds apart, you know. The one will climb up a tree and the other one will not. The one will take big chances in life. The other one, I'll probably let him play with a loaded gun because he's so responsible. The other one, I won't say he's not that responsible, but, you know, he will, if you give him the gun, he will probably see, but, you know, can I shoot a few doves or whatever? He will try that. You know, he will. He's a bit more. I'm also. My wife will usually tell me I'm like 50 or 60, and she's more like 16. She's actually 3 years older than me, but she's very good looking, so it's fine. Now the thing is, we all differ. We are not the same. You know, and it's such a blessing, especially in church. Now, I've made the joke many times. I had an elder here, Francois Borchardt. Some of you would have been here long enough. He's a huge man, okay? And I once saw him dancing at Foundation 4, and I think I also left. A few demons went out of me just by seeing him dance. He was probably 1 meter, 98, and 150 kilograms, but it was a beautiful picture, okay? It was something really beautiful, but I remember the two of us usually make, not bad jokes, but just said, like, the worship team. That's not our ministry. We are really retarded in that area of life. We will not be able to make a good contribution. But praise God for people who's doing many different things in church. I think it's one of my, I don't want to say favorite sermons, but one of the things I love the most in Scripture. Because here's the thing. Many times we grow up and we've got a brother or a sister or a friend or someone that's totally different than us, very gifted in certain areas, and maybe parents that's not that, how would I put it, understanding towards these things. And then the worst thing we can do is to make a copycat or a copy of someone else, you know. God has made us all very different for very good reasons. I spoke to someone in church in the past week, and he said, no, if, and it's not Henning, by the way. Henning, I love you. That, you know, if he has to do the offering or talk in front of church, then he starts 2 weeks before the time. He starts to fast, and, you know, he just don't like it. But it's fine. Some of us, you know, I don't give this thing to you because I know you'll talk for 3 minutes, okay? Some people love it. Some people are leaders. Some people are followers. If we were all the same, you know, how will we go on missions? Some people make music on the team. Some people make food. Some preach the word. There's something for all of us. And it's the worst thing we can actually do is in an unhealthy way to compare ourselves with others and try to be something you were not made to be. I've played a few sports at school, and if you think of things like rugby or cricket or soccer, especially in those things, we work together in a team, like in church, you know, it won't benefit you if you were 10, 11, or 15 of exactly the same type of players in the team. It's usually the diversity that brings the beautiful thing and makes the team work. So first of all, don't be like that engineer. Understand yourself. And sometimes when we are young, you battle with the things like, why can't I be the captain of the first team? Or why don't I get 95% for maths? Or why do this or why do that? And those things, if we don't manage it and there's a lot of pressure on us, it can really become difficult. Because then you become jealous of someone who's really gifted in playing a certain sport or leading the worship or whatever it might be. Okay, so it's important, as I believe, as we grow up and we mature, we start to make peace with ourselves. And I just want to encourage you, just be the best you can be. God knows exactly who you are, the gifts He has given you, and I will always play catch-up if I try to lead the worship. That's not how God made me to be. And as I said, just over the past weekend again, going to Rundu, seeing different people doing different things, I just love it. How the plan comes together, how everything works together for the good. So first of all, please remember, understand yourself. It's so important. I just want to say one or two more things on that. You know, some people like relaxing with a book. Just you reading a book, magazine, whatever it might be, on your own, no people around, and you are recharging. You love it. Other people, they recharge with people around them. Me and my wife, you know, when we visit me and my dad, when me and Maritza went to visit my parents or my dad, you know, I promise you, you will never invite friends. He's just not like that, okay? I don't think I've been to my parents-in-law's house in Adderbury without there being 20 other people, okay? That's just how they like doing it. And it's not a right or a wrong thing. So if you are the guy, just life, you on a Sunday afternoon reading the magazine or the book, going for a walk on your own, that's fine. The other guy having a braai with 20 people, recharging that way, nothing wrong with that as well. Just remember that God made you in a certain way, and He loves you the way He made you. Then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 to 20, valuing yourself and others. Okay? Understand yourself, point one. Point number two, valuing yourself. Okay? You're not a mistake. You're not a In God's dictionary, stuff like idiot, mistake, loser, those words don't exist. That is man-made bad words that we should never tell each other. Valuing yourself and others. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 18 to 20. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Okay, important to remember, God gave all this different, and I think it's something we know, but I'm going to bring it back to the loving each other, because it's so important. I've seen, especially on teams or in church, when things tend to become difficult, and man, I just read yesterday morning in the newspaper, I see there was like a coup, or how do you say, in Lesotho, you know where Lesotho is, South Africa, and I think, yeah, the Ukraine, this and that, and things like, yo, the world is really upside down. Praise God, we live in a relative peaceful country. But there will be tough times for the church. Scripture says it will be like that. And I think that song that sing where we sing, Lord, bind our hearts together, that's the way we will overcome. That's how it works in a marriage or a relationship. When tough times come and your hearts are knitted together, then you can face the world in many ways. So important to understand, and just a word of encouragement to some of us this morning. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. That means God gave you a certain color of eyes, certain type of hair, certain length, etc. Okay? God chooses who He gives certain what gifts to. Now, obviously, it's important that we are stewards of what God gives to us. If you have certain talents, don't hide it there somewhere. Use it in your workplace, use it everywhere, and bring it to church as well. Because Scripture says God arranged it that way as He pleased. You know, that means we, me, myself, the elders, or the leaders in church, your small group facilitator, we don't decide, you know, what gifts who has. No, 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 no. God decides. And I just want to encourage you, embrace what gift God has given to you. Okay? He's got it for a certain time and a certain purpose. He gave it to you that you can use it for His glory. Isn't that amazing? Okay? God doesn't just use a few people and the rest are just there to sit in the chairs. God wants to use every one of us. So, others, we need to understand that if that person, I'll just share this as well. You know, Rundu is about 700 kilometers from you. Now, it worked like that. If there was 1,000 words spoken in our car, Alvin probably used up 900 of those words. Okay? My wife, secondly, probably used about 40 of those words, and the rest were divided between, yeah, probably the rest will go to Ulrike. Gustav didn't use more than 10 or 15 words, I think. But that's fine, you know? It's how we all differ. So have respect for that guy that is on his own, doing his own thing, or the person who loves the group, who loves the team, who are with people all the time. You know, and especially in a workplace, it can become challenging. You know, I remember 2005, 6, I was still working at a company in South Africa, and you know, they had this culture on Friday afternoons or lunchtime, they went out, it was they close to Tiger Valley in South Africa, Western Cape, and they went out for lunchtime, but usually came back like 3 o'clock. Some of them had a little bit too much to drink or stuff. And you know, being young, I went with them a few times at the start. And then after a while, I just felt like, I'm wasting my time. I don't like this, the things that's happening there, the talk that is being talked, the things that is being said, the things that is being done. Okay, I'll rather go on my own and do something on my own. I prefer that. Okay. And then what many times happen, if you take a step back and you don't join the culture anymore, you know, you get pushed out a little bit. Now, I understood what was happening, but I just not going to bow my knee before that thing, okay? I just knew what I was and what I was not, okay? So I want to encourage you guys. My job is awesome. I work with a lot of really nice, wonderful people. But I know some of you have got difficult bosses working maybe in companies where the culture is something that you don't like or don't like to be part of, or you don't embrace that. But have respect, and I'm in a neutral sense maybe. Have respect for those people that is totally different, that recharge in a different way, that is maybe loud and talk a lot of words, but also for the guy that maybe really talk about his feelings or maybe just don't talk that much, whatever it might be. We all know people like that, and I love it because it's from God. The way we react under pressure, the way we make decisions, I can see in my own household how we differ in that. Some people need a lot of facts. They first need to understand how late are we going to go to the shop, and then Gustav will think like, how much cash do I have? Can I buy a Vigo maybe, or an ice cream, or whatever might the case be? The other boy will make just the emotional decision. Oh, cool, we're going to the shop. You want some money, Ulrike? Awesome, I'll give you my money. You know, just different. And remember, you are 20, 30 years onwards, but the way we make decisions, the way we react under pressure, or when the cash is finished in the house, or whatever, it's different. And many times, those things will bring a lot of tension, because under pressure, we don't react the same. And then we start to say, yeah, but you this and you that, and that's not a blessing. Okay, so let's continue a little bit. We need each other so much. Let's read also from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 to 17. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, what would not make it less any part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of the smell? And I think Paul, going through life, being an older man in that sense, you know, he probably had a lot of practical examples, you know, in the synagogue, fighting with people, seeing how people react. And he obviously, he referred a lot of time to this thing. He understood that we are not the same. And, you know, if we were all the eye, where would the sense of smelling be? Now, this is a place of also taking ownership, eh? It's something that we all need to embrace. Because you need to, at the end of the day, you need to, if you're not already know and you're not walking in that, you must either ask yourself or God, preferably, God, what do you want me to do? What should I give? Who am I, part of the hearing part, of the seeing part, of the walking part, the touching part? What part am I part of? Okay. And then when we have a conference or go on a mission, or only even here in church, you know, then you give that gift. It's something really awesome that we can all offer. Okay. Here is the important thing. Building stronger relationship with those people God brings into your life begins with understanding and valuing others. Let me read to you from Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And here's a very subtle little thing. As I said, it's easy. Sometimes we will say yes, but we love each other. And sometimes you will say, yeah, you know, I esteem certain people higher than myself. But is it something we can grow in? Is it something, as I said here, understanding and valuing others? Important firstly to understand who you are. I like to go to bed with my book, whatever it might be. You will understand yourself, make peace with yourself. Secondly, that guy in small group that you feel is just talking all the time. You know, you almost want to go like the kids and say, me, I also want to say something. And then when it's your opportunity, you are overwhelmed by the people looking at you. Okay? It's important that we understand these things and value the other person as well. If it's a strong person with a strong personality, just want to go and change the world all the time and just be out there, and you are someone that are just completely different, you know, it's not going to help if you want to change the other person all the time. Because especially in companies, workplaces, when we are under pressure, what do we usually want to do? When there's tension in the house, in your marriage, we want to tell the other person, you are wrong, you shouldn't act like that. We always want to change the other person instead of valuing that person for who he or she is and embracing that person. I promise you, once you make peace with who you are and the other person, especially I can share from a place of being married as well. You know, when you stop telling the other person not to be like this or to be like that, you know, does it really work? I think it's better to pray with each other and then make peace and say, if that person doesn't like on a Sunday afternoon to lay in bed with a book and read, but rather to go and jog or do something, let it go. It's okay. You're going to fight for 20 years and then you're still going to see you haven't changed that person. Do you agree with me? So that's really something I believe we can just grow in. Recognize the differences in others that are designed to complement you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Remember, the people next to you in workplace, church, wherever, small group, that is different from you. God designed them differently. He brought them into your life, but to complement each other. I know of one of the small groups lately. I've heard one or two guys, a few from the small group, just said like, no, it's awesome. We just have the whole fivefold ministry in our small group. Now, that is just excellent. And you're going to see there's going to be a tension always between the, and I see it at pastor summits, I see it at many places, you know, between the evangelist, for instance, and the pastor. Evangelist is going to say, no, we can't just sit here. We must go out. And I don't think of people in church. I'm just using it as an example. Okay? The evangelists want to go out, save people, reach the lost. And the pastor will always have like, but how are you doing today? And how do you feel? And how's your wife and your kids? And, you know, I always tend to focus a little bit on the inward side and the feeling side and the apostle type of person, you know. He just say, no, no, no. Things in the church are not working at all, you know, because he's got that strong D mentality. Just want to go make systems work and sort out stuff that's wrong. And, you know, or the prophetic people, they will always come to you as well and tell you, no, 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 but this is wrong and it should be like that. And it's good. God called him to send stuff that is not working or where there's attack or this or that. You know, but if we also, no, 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 we just need to be, let's say, a pastoral small group. I've seen stuff like that. It's not a blessing because everyone is just looking and working in the same way. The moment when you have that diversity and there becomes unity in diversity, then the system is really starting to work. Then it's really starting to become something really beautiful. Just like this morning in church. You know, different people, different, bringing a word that is in their heart. And I believe at the end of the day, building up all of us. Being committed to building others up by what you say and do. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Okay, so I believe by now you understand this is not going to change the world type of a sermon. It's really more for us in the church and relationships with one another. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Challenging, but very wise words. Very good words, obviously. Something that will really, once again, something that we, and it's so easy many times to think like, this is not something new, this is not something I've never heard before, but just to do a check in your heart, where do I stand? In terms of building up, you know, it's sometimes I can, you know, I think later in when you are small, you know, children will hit each other and maybe some very immature grown-ups will do the same. But we know that words actually hurt more than someone punching you on the shoulder or the chin maybe. That father that says to his boy, you are stupid, why did you do this again? You will never amount to something in life. That's a massive hard words. It's a massive curse that you speak over that young person's life. Or you are useless, or you are this, or you are that. When a person in authority tells, maybe you are first year after you've studied now and you start working and you just get something completely wrong, and then that guy that's been there for 30 years, know the thing inside out, just walks in there and just, you're useless. You're never going to get it right. You know, that's the things that make you lay awake at night at 3 o'clock. Except if you obviously know that you need to how to handle that, and but it can hurt so much. So uplifting words, encouraging, non-corrupting words coming from our mouths. Then meeting the needs of other people. And I think that's why we went to Rundu, basically just to serve. Now the blessing in this whole thing is, as we go, we get ministered to so much. Warren said it, that I believe we were quite a strong team, 35 people or whatever, and there was a lot of strong personalities, mature Christians, quite a few evangelists. I remember Auntie Doris counts for about 20 evangelists. That's a compliment. Just if you were 65 and just going out and evangelizing Auntie Doris, you set such a good example for all of us. It's really good to see. But you know, that Sunday morning, standing at church, all of us excited, we hand out cards with the time and the date, ministering to people, praying in Muslim shops. Awesome things happening that Saturday morning while we were inviting people to church. And then the Sunday morning, almost no one preaching of those people. But God wanted to teach us something. It's important to check our hearts, because we just felt like we're a big team going. We've been sowing there for a while. And, you know, people should just stream to us. Didn't happen that way. Okay, and I think Yaku got it so right with his sermon that morning in terms of, I'm not going into that right now, but, you know, just encouraging us and God checking our hearts, just like, where are we at, you know? Are we just going to walk away and say, okay, well, then we obviously shouldn't be here. Or will we persist and continue standing in faith, praying more, etc.? God called us to consider the needs and interests of others, not just your own. somewhere in your married life, you will tell the other person, you are selfish. You know, you are selfish. Not a shellfish, okay? Selfish, okay? I grew up very Afrikaans. Okay, now you're all awake again. But sometimes you will tell someone, no, you're just looking out for your own interest and what you can get out of it. And that's usually a place where you need to sit down and talk a few things through. Because there's usually a lot to that. Let's see what we read here in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. You see, what I said is biblical. Something, but it's easy to say, yes, Pastor, I know that. But it's sometimes more difficult to practice what you preach. It's sometimes more difficult, you know, to say, okay, well, it's 9 o'clock at night. We had a long day. And I'll be the good volunteer who's going to wash the pots and the pans of 30 people on the mission team. You know, then you think about yourself. I want to go to bed because I'm tired and maybe this or maybe that. Maybe I've got a headache. But it's tough sometimes to say, I'll take a step back and I'll be the least, you know. And when you start coming to places like that in your relationship with your parents, with your spouse, at work, at school, maybe wherever it might be, you know, sometimes we see a few jaws drop because the world doesn't work like that. The world today is in a lot of ways wired. You know, it's almost like this mine of companies that come from overseas and just mine here, dig a hole in the ground, and when it's left, they leave again. And we are stuck with the hole in the earth. Okay? Let's not get into politics. Jesus gave us, obviously, the awesome example, the most awesome example. Second last scripture, Philippians 2 verse 5 to 11, something Paul wrote, it's also seen as a hymn, and a great part of theology for all of us. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. You know, in all eternity, Jesus Christ existing, and then, you know, coming to be born like a man like us, you know, there, very in a humble way, you know, but still, he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he came to serve, came to wash feet, came to heal. You know, what an awesome example for all of us. Paul wrote this magnificent theology to encourage the Philippians to consider other people's interests first. Coming to a four-way stop, allowing the other person to drive. Don't mess up the traffic rules now, but many times you will see someone jumping the gun, taking a chance who doesn't actually belong to you. That's why accidents happen. People not listening, obeying the rules that are easy to manage and govern certain things around us. So it's so important, you know. I want to challenge you, trust God to, and I have to many times do the same, you know. Trust God, and as you listen to these words and scriptures, you know, and asking him, in what area should I grow? In terms of loving one another, counting someone, you know, higher than myself. You know, we grew up with a lot of bad tradition, you know. I remember, I'm not going to go into that, but when I was first year, at university, and I was, as I said, born in the 70s, so stuff like doop still existed. You know, if you were a first year, you were nothing. And they told you that. When you were in standard 6 in a boys' school, you were nothing. And you were called a lot of names. I don't have issues about that. I love those things. But you see, there's a system in the world where you will say, that guy's got a lot of money or a position, so he's a lot. This person, maybe not. And then he doesn't amount to much in life. Or his worth isn't that much. But that's obviously a lie. We're all equal before God. God loves us. He placed us in the body. He gave certain, a job description to all of us. He gave certain gifts to all of us. Okay, second last thing. We tend to focus on the weakness of others, not on their strengths, especially with those with different behavioral styles. So I want to encourage you, okay? Make a note somewhere or make something in your heart to help remember you that those people that you can, it's sometimes very obviously where my weaknesses is. I'm not a linguist, how you put it, selfish, okay? I battle with those things in life, but it's okay. You know, that's quite apparent. But sometimes we are so focused on this one can't do this, that one can't do this. But I promise you, if you look at the other side of the coin, there's something that person will be awesome in. Something that person will really be very strong in. So make a point to look at those type of things and to recognize it. Ask God to help you focus on the strengths of others. When tension occurs, we want the other person to change, but we don't want to change ourselves. Sometimes, as I said, it's just that finger pointing, but if you look at it, it's the other fingers pointing back at you. But we want to say that thing about, you always do this and you always that, instead of remembering that we also fail and none of us are perfect. You know, we need to stay humble all the time. Sometimes when we grow up, you know, there's a thing called reversed parenting. You are 25 or 35 years old, and your parents are 60 or 70, and you look at them, and it's quite apparent to see where their blind spots are, where they missed the mark, you know? And now you want to tell them, but why didn't you do this or why that? And you want to just tell them to change. But if you go and look in the mirror, I can promise you, there will be a few things that each and every one of us can work on as well. Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. James 1:19. Deep words. Excuse me. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's challenging always, you know, because we blow our gaskets so easily sometimes, especially when we feel we've got the entitlement to do it. I was wrong, so I can make a scene now. Sometimes that is really tough. I want us all to stand this morning, and Saskia and the team, that last song that we have, I want you to lead us there in the worship. And I want to ask you, as we are gonna worship now, also, if you just want to feel and remain quiet and just listen to that still small voice this morning, and maybe this morning you said, Pastor, you were talking about love and counting other people higher than yourselves. I agree with that. It's in Scripture. And I'm going to go home now and thanks for a sermon. But that's not the reason why it's there. I believe that the Holy Spirit will minister to us. That He will tell you this morning, in what area do you need to grow in? Maybe you have made a lot of progress recently and you feel, I can take a break. I've stopped smoking, I've quit drinking that much and this and that, and I'm becoming a good person. But that's not where it stops, I can promise you, okay? God always wants us to grow from glory to glory so that He can be glorified. So if there's still stuff in your life, I really want to encourage you. And regarding this sermon, you know, usually stuff like offense or pride, it plays a big role. If there's, you know, pride in your life, that will hinder you many times to say, I don't need to work on this. Look at how good I am at many other things. And you place that one thing on the shelf, and you actually feel it's okay. I don't have to work on that. But maybe you need to go to that shelf on the wall today. Just have a look. What is standing there? What is that thing that you say, well, God, you know, 9 out of 10 things I'm really doing well. But that one thing that you really need to work on. Maybe you are judgmental. Some of us are just a little bit more wired like that than others. But maybe all the time you just think about, like, listen to the words that person are speaking, or just like how the country is run. And you just say, but they are bad and they can't do this or they can't do that. I said it last time as well. If you want a better pastor, pray for the one that you have. If you want a better husband, pray for the one that you have. If you want a better boss, pray for the one that you have. And that's challenging, because sometimes we just want to make a list of why that person shouldn't be your boss. Okay? But that's a lot of pride, actually. Maybe you're judging the leaders of a country a lot. Rather pray for them and intercede for them. Sometimes, it's a fact, we live in a broken, sinful world, and not all of us are equally mature. And sometimes, in a moment, a bad moment, Christian or maybe not, will say something. That thing where someone tells you, those four can be selected to take part in the squinets competition. And maybe you rather sit in, you become more beautiful or whatever. Or maybe you guys go for the choir practice. We can see you've got talent. But you, little Yanni, you better don't ever come to this choir practice because you're just going to mess up. Maybe someone, somewhere in your 20, 30 or 40 years in life have said something that you are still carrying in your heart. Something that's still hurting. And you, that thing is standing there and you are working around it, trying to cope with life, trying to be something, but you've never dealt with that thing. I believe that we can have the opportunity, we'll have the opportunity this morning to pray for each other. As I said, with each judgment, being very judgmental, battling with pride, or maybe that massive offense, or maybe just a small one, is sitting somewhere there in your life, and you are acting in a certain way because you are justifying it and saying, church and God, that person did this or said that, so for that reason, hence, I can act like this. And you know what about God? He's slow to anger. He will give us lots of time allowing those things. But He also wants us to overcome. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That we don't have to stay the same forever. That we can grow and have testimonies that can say, but by the grace of God, I've overcome this or that. Let's worship together. I'll stand here in the front and maybe some of the other leaders. And if you feel you've got something that you need to pray and bring in the light this morning, maybe you can even just take the person next to you's hand once again and say, please, pray for me this morning. Okay, so I'm just going to allow time for us to worship. And then as you feel the Holy Spirit is laying something on your heart, please respond to that and that we can overcome. Amen.